You ready? I'm recording for the homeless ID right now.
Yeah.
You guys down?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. I'm recording right now, doing the podcast right now as we're talking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're here with Clay, Marvin, and Mark. How's things going, guys?
Basil.
What's up, Basil? Nice to meet you, bro.
Not too bad.
You too, brother. Shay.
I'm making my final transition into Tiny Town.
Are you? From the projects?
Street.
Yeah.
Russell Street in Espinal. That place is nothing but theft and problems and stress and so I'm going to go get the rest of what I have left there. And
how did you get the transfer?
I just asked for it.
And they moved you up?
Yeah.
And are they doing that rapidly for a lot of people or no?
Actually, it's kind of hard to get in there from what I understand, but I was working with Safer, so it made shit a hell of a lot easier for me.
So Safer got you in there?
More or less.
Right on Safer.
Our place is trying to take the credit, though.
And do they deserve that?
No.
Okay, well, let's come back and talk. All right.
Okay,
buddy, you do take your thing. All right, brother. I love you, buddy. Thanks for saying that, man. Yeah. Later, Mark. All right, boys. So you're at Tiny Towns right now, eh, Clay?
Yep.
How's that going for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah, how's our place treating you?
Not bad. You know, they have their moments like anybody, right?
Marvin, where are you at, brother?
What do you mean?
So you were talking about where you're staying. You got indoors?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. After Beacon Hill, I actually wound up going into the culturally supportive house. They call it Aboriginal Coalition to End Homelessness.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and that's working out for you?
Yeah, it's good.
Excellent, man.
What are you doing?
Your
story?
Yeah, just kind of, exactly, just do a podcast, man. Just basically street perspective thing. Try and let the common everyday person know what life is like down here.
I mean, like, I think they're kind of like...
Sure, I'd like to hear, man. What's up?
They're kind of like easing me into it, right?
Yeah, bro. What's up?
Okay, so when I first moved to town fucking just 13 months ago, I started out at Douglas. You know where Labor on Liberty is?
I do.
Yeah. We were under that cover and we got kicked out of there one day. Oh, we moved next door. It started raining. We had to move down the road. We got kicked out of there. It was H&R Block. It was company business. We had to get kicked out, right?
You guys are staying there? Like?
No, this was last year.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you a story, right?
Sure, yeah.
This was just one night at a time, right?
You bet.
We were only here for a week before we started staying up at Crystal Pool. We were sitting there at Crystal Pool. We were sleeping out front, in front of the doors, because we knew they weren't going to open.
Because of the COVID thing.
But they still kept watering the plants. I'm like, what's going on? I'm waking up with wet feet every morning.
You know, actually, you guys, I spent the night at Topaz last night, and I noticed that they turned the sprinklers on only where I was at 6:30 in the morning, right?
No, it's not only where you was.
No, it was. It was only the grass area where I was.
No, it's not where you was. It's where it's fucking to be turned on at that time.
Yeah,
because it's not 6 o'clock every time the sprinkler turns on.
But in that area,
it could be 6 o'clock. It could be 6:00.
In that one line of sprinklers,
which I was at,
that was the only one turned on in the field. And I mean, I know that there's like, you know, conspiracy theory element to this, but it's actually kind of like weird. And
I was like, fuckers,
you know. So then after that, I passed out and I woke up to my $300 fine by law standing over my hammock. And they're like, hey, good morning, Shay. And then the cops were like, they kind of gave me a hard time at first, and then they put me in handcuffs because I gave them a hard time. It was like, whatever. And then they said, this is kind of stupid. We don't really want to arrest you. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of dumb. And so we all, you know, everybody stood down. Yeah, homie, fucking. And that being said, I got a $300 fine for damaging, they say, a tree with my hammock nylon. Right? It's bullshit. Like, it's a rotted, damaged old branch, and it just happened to be the one that I tied my hammock around because it had enough weight, or we could hold enough weight for the hammock, right? That it wouldn't fall. That wouldn't end up on the fucking, on my ass, right, in the middle of the night. So I said, so that's got enough weight. I tied my hammock around that. It happened to be a dead old branch, which they say I damaged because of the hammock being tied around. So $300 fine. I got a fight now. So my day has been kind of going like that.
Take a picture of it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I took multiple pictures of it. I should post them up on the web.
You know, just this morning, I think it was there was security that came and kicked me out of Sancy Morton's. I was sitting on the stairs there.
Yep.
Me and a couple of buddies. And we just finished buying Tim Hortons coffee, right?
Yep.
Sat down, smoked a couple of joints. did some artwork, or showed off artwork I was about to do something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then out of nowhere, the security comes by. He walked by us the first time, and he comes back. And then he asks us to leave. And I'm like, he never even said a word, man. Like, he just came up and he just stood there, and I'm like, well, whatever. I just continued doing what I was doing. And yeah. He started getting all happy about it. And I'm like, well, I mean, like, what are we doing wrong? Like, I don't even understand. He said it's private property. And then he's like backing up like I was going to be aggressive with him, right? And I'm like, are you serious, dude? I'm like, I'm just trying to talk to you and ask you questions about this, like, understanding, right? The fucking guy, so he was like, I'm going to call the cops. I'm like, go for it. And I'm like, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'll call them. I'm like, call you guys on harassment, man.
Absolutely.
Like, I was like, this is some BS, man. I was like, just to automatically jump to that conclusion.
And Marvin, this is your home. I mean, like, you're from
that's right.
And your backpack.
I don't know. I said some things, but.
Yeah, well, so this is, like this is the traditional home. You're sitting down to do artwork. You're being harassed by some corporation. But, you know, this is your home. This is a traditional thing. Like, I mean, they have no right to ask you. You're not doing anything wrong.
And then even then, the stairs that he was protecting, there was nothing that, there was no business there.
It's absolutely harassment. It's absolutely harassment.
Like your
that's on the other side of this thing. We got to get, guys. There's a totally systemic problem. And I think that in Victoria that we would be ignoring it if we didn't say there's like an evil on the other side of this that seems to be controlling things. Is that conspiracy or is that what's going on there?
I don't know.
Do you guys feel that kind of buzz? I mean, like, do
you want to ask the mayor? The mayor is going to be down at Tiny Town between 4 and 5
tonight.
Today.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a
good ambush point.
Yeah, I think so. We're gonna have to have the mayor on the homeless idea, guys. Awesome. What do you guys think we should ask for? I would like to just hear this. Okay, guys, we're gonna hear this. All right. Cheers. Thanks, guys. Unfortunately, my phone died, and I didn't have anything to charge with, so I wasn't able to go see the mayor last night. I'm actually gonna get a hold of the mayor's office and try and see if I can talk to the mayor about these things. I guess we'll find out. At the current moment, I'm back in Topaz, and I'm sitting here just dealing with the looks. And, you know, because I got my backpack on and a can of peanut butter a jar of peanut butter and a bag of bread here. And I always feel like I get these looks. Like people don't approve, you know, looking down on me and stuff like that. I don't know if it's in my head or that's the way that, you know, people are actually feeling. I tend to think that it's not in my head because it happens quite a lot. And a lot of people do voice their displeasure with the presence of homeless people. As you know, you heard there from Marvin. We get harassed consistently. Everywhere you go, you're told to move. Everywhere you try to exist, you're told you can't be there. And that's one of the most hardest things about being homeless, is that you have no energy to continually, you know, press on. And everywhere you go, you can't be there. They want to get rid of you. They don't like to look to you. They call the police on you. It's a real problem. Hey, Marvin, you said something there. We were just talking about camping. He said, you didn't know why everybody was making such a big deal out of camping. And he said something more than that. What was that?
Okay, so I say I don't understand why people are getting so upset about people camping around. It's not like when people first came to this land, like we had apartments to rent, or houses to fucking rent, right?
Yeah, the first thing was to camp on someone else's land.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, what's the big deal, right? I think they're coming from you, Marvin, that's wisdom. Thanks, bud.
All right.
I'm just doing my podcast here. Would you like to put some input on what it's like to be homeless, man? I'm just doing an episode of my podcast. I'm just kind of doing some recording. Would you like
to do a podcast?
Yeah, yeah. I do a podcast called The Homeless Idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, brother.
I'm gonna have a story you might
want. Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'd love to hear it. So James, you're currently in there?
Yes, I am.
And how long were you homeless before that?
I had a career and a job and raised three kids of my own, so I was homeless for about a year and a half.
About a year and a half?
Yeah, because I got sick with a disease and then I didn't know what to do and I lost everything.
How's things going now?
Up and down.
Up and down?
My disease is Lyme's disease, so it's every disease. It's 350 diseases in one, and every symptom to every other disease, so it's very hard to diagnose and hard to keep a wrap on it. Just eating something wrong is difficult. Get around the wrong vibrations and the wrong atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
But it's allowed me to read nature and understand how this all works and to talk to it and to teach other people to do it.
Yeah, right on, man.
And it's actually pretty cool.
Cool.
There's real magic here and Earth's asking for help because all the sewage in the bottom of the ocean is now being dragged up and sticks to dynamite pretty much.
What do you remember from times of being homeless and even now? I mean, trying to exist, trying to go to certain places, and having like, you still have the problem with security and getting chased around all over the place. Like, how's that? Like, explain that.
For the homeless?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
why we're kept like we are?
Yeah.
Because we're slaves. We're slaves, and we're kept, the homeless especially, because we are the anatomy of our God
in
a different world.
Do you find that they like to consistently move us on, and that's part of the drudgery of being homeless? Is to constantly get pushed around and to constantly get moved from place to place.
Yeah.
You're always worn out.
It's caused exactly that. It's caused people to wear you out, create confusion, and to have a negative energy.
Constantly keeping in a constant state of crisis type
that's
thing.
That's right. That's right.
When you experienced all this, I mean, you said you went from a working guy raising his kids, and then you went through this we were diagnosed, and then. Obviously, that was debilitating for you, and you had to, unfortunately, hit homelessness.
Yeah, I tried to go as long as I could, and I slept in my work truck for a while. I slept in the weirdest places, the graveyards, and had the weirdest conversations with the weirdest dead people. But it landed me here, because when I was growing up, I always said I wanted to help the homeless, and
right
here
on.
I am.
Would you say that being kind of like, systemically kind of pushed around and stuff like that?
We've been pushed around just to cause negative energy, to cause friction, and to cause grief, and to kill everything. Everything here is made of little children and little people, like in even the air we breathe. So it's meant to slowly, this is an infection, so we might be hitting flesh too.
How do you?
It's an infection, it's meant to cause grief. Morgellons transhumanism, they're trying to make it, that stuff is great as God.
Do you feel that the situation, or a situation like say in the hotels right now, do you think that could be improved by a person being able to have visitors and being able to kind of function normally?
Well, yeah. Well, we pay rent. They say it's not rent; it's for a program. Well, no, we pay rent, so we should be able to have somebody in there, especially myself, when I'm disabled. I can't clean up. My place is a mess, and it's meant to be on purpose. But
so,
in any case, yeah, we need to have that social. Interaction.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
it's part. It makes for a healthy life. Isolating someone is not.
Oh,
is
yeah,
not a healthy
you're isolating,
thing.
Basically just sitting there waiting to die.
It's exactly what it feels
and
like.
Basically, they're absorbing our energies. But basically, if you look at it, this is a computer. Life, the Earth and the universe is a computer of life. This is a hard drive, an artificial hard drive, and probably one that's already there. And I believe that each building has to be where it's supposed to be, where the energies inside of it, for to access the building and for underneath. To access Father.
What would actually real?
There's vendetta for everything.
Do you find that this is real recovery, or do you think they could do a lot better?
I think they could do a lot better. Right here, we got a restaurant. We could have kept that open and kept for places for the ladies to hang out and for working girls, and for us to mingle and have something to do other than just to sit there and do drugs.
Right.
Well, that's not drugs. We're made of it, so we're just putting ourselves back together.
Yeah, yeah. And they're a coffee shop. There's a restaurant, like you say.
There's
sitting there.
There's little stores there. We can make little stores and sell our knickknacks and share our souls.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some positive artworks, some creations. Have a little a little shop in there where people could maybe consign their artwork and stuff
that's
like that. Because we've got a lot of artists out here.
The homeless have lots of talent, And I always said that the homeless when I was growing up, even though we've been kicked to the curb and kicked to the, you know, fed to the rats and the throw out in the boat, that if there's ever a disaster, we would be the ones helping the rich learn how to nurture their children through this disaster.
Yeah, how to live again.
They would be there with love in their hearts.
Yeah,
and I believe that one time. I believe this is the time where the homeless should speak out and reach out and start sharing those talents, because we're not dumb and we're not stupid and we're not, even though we got a crutch or a leg that misses, we can always get around it. You know, like
we seem to survive, right?
Find another way to do it where it's positive, and then it becomes, you know, an easy way to try.
What's the problem? My behavior. I just want to drop off the dog. You don't contact from policy. So I just want to drop off the dog, man. Well, how can I do that? I have a phone.
Yeah, he's okay. He's all good.
I mean, why make it so hard? You called the cops on me 4 times this week, man. Every day this week, you called the cops on me.
Yes, and I'm hoping to avoid it again, so I'm asking police.
Well, I have to drop off the dog.
You'll need to arrange that with Melba.
I can't arrange that with Melba. I have her phone. So I don't know how to do this, right? Because you don't have a buzzer, can't have visitors. And so, even though it's against the Residential Tenancy Act, which you guys fall under, it's just a supportive housing. Well, what do you want me to do? I just have to drop off the dog, man. Can you please let Melba know I'm here? The police will ask you to do the same thing. Well, the police will ask you guys to do the same thing. Why would you waste your time? But why waste your time? Dude, you don't even call the cops, man. This is horse shit. Can someone let Melba know I'm here to drop off the dog? As soon as I drop off my dog, I can't take him with me. What a bunch of bullshit, eh? Fuck, man.
Okay. I have a roof over my head.
Okay, hey, what? Just say exactly what you were just gonna say, bro. When you got into housing, go ahead. Just say what you're saying.
Well, I thought like the day I don't bring roof the over board. My head, oh. And I wouldn't have to worry about
guys, can I just get, sorry guys. I'm not treating you rude, but I want to get
a written apology.
Thank you.
Bullshit.
I just want to get A1's perspective on this whole thing, because this is important, and A1.
Yeah, you can record it. Yeah, man. Like, originally, I thought, this housing program would, enable me to, not have to worry every day about, packing all my stuff up every morning, going to work.
That's awesome.
With it and all that. And, or leaving it up and then coming back after work and finding it gone, that really sucks. But I thought I'd finally get my, get my shit show together, right? Man, instead it's done, the total opposite, man. Well, it's rather than fucking, helping people out to get their, to get their shit back together, man. It's enabling them, man. It's just,
you had a hammock, chilling. That was kind of like I just what I'm packing in right now. I'm just doing the hammock thing, And you were kind of talking about that,
I like being off the ground, so the hammock was good.
Yeah, and you kind of you see that kind of that fucking, feral look in your eye, and all of a sudden you just got the fucking taste for the bush again,
Oh, totally. Right? Well, yeah, I have for it's between my fingertips before. I'm thinking the moment they piss me off or something here, it's gonna take me 5 minutes to pack up my stuff.
And you know what? For real. I mean, we're talking to originally one of Vancouver Island's original Road Warriors, man.
But I want to see I want to see like people like Irish and other people that I know to be able to stay here as long as possible.
Totally.
Right?
Well, Irish, this is he's doing.
You
good,
know,
right?
Especially the older you get, etc.
Absolutely.
Et cetera,
and
right?
Mikey, you probably want to just take it easy. Eh?
Nah, I like the stress.
No, I'd love to get the fuck out of here.
So, you know what? The barrier is what, guys? What's the barrier? What's the barrier? The barrier is housing. Is it not? What are they telling you guys? Like, and I got kicked out.
They're not
of
telling us fuck all. That's number one. They're not telling us fucking anything.
Have you asked?
Yeah.
No,
my ex-wife came and like wanted to make a rendezvous.
Did the right thing. Got all the check marks, box, and you went and talked to the secretary. What did they say?
Yeah. Didn't happen.
I want a place where I can.
So you got the same kind of run around that everybody's got. No information.
I own my own back door, and I got
no information. No. And you know what? They don't have any information to give you information in the first place. So, I'd be an idiot in the first place to ask them for help. But you don't have too many resources, right?
Okay, exactly. That's exactly the problem. What would you say to you, or what would you say to me if I told you that there's just no housing right now? And
the last time I read the Times, communists, I like to call.
What would you believe what I was saying?
1465 dollars and change for a single bachelor suite here in Victoria.
Right.
And you know, like even the dude that goes to work every day and makes like $32 an hour, man.
Can't afford it.
Like after your bills and everything, like that, man. At the end of the day, you're still starving, man.
So guys, here we are on the street, and we sympathize with the working men, obviously, because we're all pretty much working men ourselves. And life goes on, right? You know, we all, like, I'm a welder, I'm a journeyman welder, I'm proud of that, you know, iron record. So, we all have something to contribute back. That being said, on the other side of it, $1,400 a month, and you worked that hard for it.
For a little room.
Yeah. You know, What's the point of it actually? How high does that have to get? How high does the price have to get for a working person?
Well, that's the average price in Victoria.
Before this guy says, he goes to himself, "Wait, I'm a poor person. I can't afford to meet these $2,000 a month and the $1,600." He's Irish, right on. We're podcasting Irish, bro.
Oh, right on.
Podcast, bro. So it's, you know, that's what I was trying to think about, man. Sorry, but you know, that was a good fucking shatter.
It pissed
$1,600 a month. This guy's working his face off. You guys, we've all been that guy.
Bullshit.
We've been that guy trying to fucking, you know, make it all work, right?
No, man.
Terrence, come back from part of the podcast, bro. Come, put 2 cents in the podcast, bro. Yeah. I want to hear your thoughts, bro.
Dude, I slept underneath the bridge on fucking rocks, man. And I'm talking like big rocks, so it was not very comfortable.
So
and I went to work every morning.
Yeah.
After that, I slept underneath the Johnson Street Bridge.
Yeah.
And every morning I go to work I sleep underneath the bridge just to be undercover.
Yeah, you drink a bit too.
Fucking rocks, dude.
Hey, Ewan, you drink a bit?
Compliments to Taylor.
Drinking's a beverages are a pastime, eh? I love beverages.
Well, I drink more now than than I used to. When I work,
you just didn't have time to drink.
Didn't have time to drink.
COVID away.
Yeah.
Man.
And the Corona.
Well, so you basically what you're saying is you take a job over the drinking time right now.
Yeah, well, of course.
So what's stopping you, bro?
being here, first of all.
Right, right. Just let her out, bro. Just let her rip.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I think, like,
why is it stopping you?
I don't know. And the fact that all my tools, like, I got had to, like, $2,000.
Is it atmosphere? Is it atmosphere?
Well, it's the fact that all my tools got stolen, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing, like, you can't put anything down without possibly going missing. Is that the atmosphere here?
Well, it's also the fact that I'm on this alcohol program, and like they, like, in the morning, like...
Is it helping you, or is it not helping?
Well... Honestly, it's not helping. Well, it's not helping because I show up to work like an hour earlier. So like if we start at 7, I'm usually there at around 6-ish. I'm usually the first dude there, and I gotta wait till about 8:30 here in order to get my pills and all that crap. So, like, there's no way, like, the timing is, like, no way, man.
So, basically, your day is consumed with getting medication and beers and, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I got, like, it's not epilepsy, but it's a seizure disorder.
Okay, so that's medical condition that you see.
So, yeah, so they bring me, like, meds, like, every morning.
That's great. That's a great thing, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, let's hand it to them. Like, I mean, if there's good things being done.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're super good. I mean, like, the people, I think they're from, like, AVI or something like that. Like, I got nothing that they say good things about.
So they're helping you out with that condition.
Yeah.
And then, so the alcohol program you see is not working, or it is working?
Well, it is, it's not.
Okay.
You know, it's why? How you take it.
Sure.
Because
tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah.
What's working for you?
What would work is just like me thinking about. I don't want to sound selfish or anything like that.
No, man.
But I like.
No, you're not
just
a selfish
doing cat. Doing something that just feels like the right thing to do.
That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing.
You know.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that like. You know, can I tell the story about like kind of how we kind of met, like bonded?
Yeah,
all right. So like, there's kind of a rough night there at Beacon Hill for me. I haven't had a bad day politically, I guess, as a mayor. I mean, I'm just fucking around there. Everybody who thinks I'm just like, whatever. Tough day in the office.
Tough day in the office. It happens.
Anyway, so
it's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, I go to and I say, you know, that was bad on me. I swat by someone's house at the end of the day, and I say, you know, I apologize. And they jumped up and down about it, and the neighbor comes up and blindsides me across the face with his bag, thin bag pipe, and gets me across the jaw. And you know, it's not very good. And the guy gets me the claw hammer. The guy gets me the claw hammer. You just whap whap, and he gets me. You know, so it's like. And then I fucking, unfortunately, you know, A1 jumped in and said, hey, fucking get off this guy, right? And I just, you know, didn't know.
I had no idea what was going on. I just started breaking shit up, you know.
You're fucking homie forever for that.
Yeah, man.
You're homie forever for that.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was pretty pissed drunk. And
so, unfortunately, I grabbed A1 and fucking just started rifling him. And it's just because he was the closest person to me. And I thought, it's fight. Anybody near me who just hit me is going
to. I don't blame you. I would have done the same thing anyway.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, man. I would have done the same thing, dude.
I stopped by your place the next day.
Yeah, and when you're in the middle of shit like that.
But my jaw was fucked up and my fucking, you know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I had no idea, man. I just came from it.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah. Right on, bro. Cheers, have a good night, man.
Peace, homie. Good to see you, bro. So, yeah, man. So, like, you know, and that's just kind of the story. And forever, like, you know, right on, bro. I think it would just, you know, I hit another level of that right now.
Yeah, for
sure. You know, I've always just fucking, I couldn't have done that to a nicer guy, you know. It
doesn't matter, man. That's life on the streets.
But you had
my
back, bro. It's fucking, I was just, like, just right shock, right? So, But those mother, you know, don't worry about that. Those, you know, anyway.
No, I don't.
No, no. I just say it for the guys that are listening. You know, the people that, yeah.
No, anyways, right on, man.
Yeah. Thanks, brother.
Oh, thanks.
So, how you doing, cowboy?
You're not a cowboy?
You're a cowboy hat. How's your cowboy hat?
Don't lose your hat, man.
You just threw your cowboy hat at me.
Not mine.
That's a nice hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Eastwood?
Hey. Would you be able to spare a lighter?
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Don't have to say please or thank you. Asking for that, man.
This is my daughter. Her name is Emily Dawn.
Sure.
How are you? Emily,
my baby.
Hey, Emily, fucking right on. That's right on. That's cool.
That's my daughter, man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
right
on.
I helped Emily out.
Awesome dad.
She's almost. I was arm wrestling.
Cool. Okay. Okay, so here we go. My good man Pete is actually an indigenous fella, and he's a good brother of mine. He's actually born on the same day as I am, and so we have a special connection that way. We're both, like, you know, November 7th Scorpios. So, you know, for us to live in even the same hemisphere without destroying it is amazing. But anyway, so I just wanted to talk to Pete about just some of his views, and especially as wise indigenous person, as far as I'm concerned. You know, Pete, you walk among your people as, I think, as a future elder. Honestly, I think that's and plus you serve the country. You're a military member. Do you want to talk about that? Okay. Anyways, you are a veteran. So you lived outdoors for
5 years.
5 years, yeah. And you're from this nation, and
true. But the difference is, it's just me. It's not a relationship. It's not family members. It's not yada yada yada. So I take that responsibility a little heavier than you guys.
And you did this, Peter, yeah. to start out, and it was a political sense.
Yeah, of course.
Do you want to talk about that?
I'd rather you read it.
Okay. Where could the listener pick that up?
It's in the works right now. Things are happening, and I want to say within the next 2 years, you'll have a interesting rapport on the last decade of homelessness in Victoria.
And from an indigenous perspective.
True.
Absolutely. Well, that's that. I think. Do you want to talk a bit about your upbringing?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm just trying to give a listener perspective of where you're coming from. So you lived outdoors for 5 years. Why haven't you been offered anything yet? You can't obviously answer that question. But have you? What's going on?
Well, that's a private conversation.
Fair enough. Where does that leave you right now? Like, I mean,
where I need to be.
Okay, fair enough.
I got you there, brother.
You know, this is like interviewing myself. It really is. It really is. It's very tough to interview. What would you like to talk about?
What do you want to do for your birthday?
Let's go see. Seriously, man, honestly. Come on, see if you can think of some things, man.
Okay, cut it.
All right. Just wanted to say, if you like the show and you want to contribute, or if you want to support the show, we're on Patreon. And if you go over to Patreon, type in the homeless idea, you can make a donation to the show and show your support. Thanks very much.